You know, I was thinking about friendships a lot since I was going through this, how we all need godly friends. And this lesson in the gospel series is the king who befriends. And I've had all kinds of friendships. You know, you have the superficial kind, you have the ones that are tight and deep. And you have, you know, the hi, how are you type, you know, very shallow ones. But you learn a lot through these friendships. You learn a lot through these close relationships that we build. And as Christians, we really need godly friendships. We really need that desperately. You know, you need to have at least one really close friend. Somebody you can talk to, confide in, somebody that you know won't judge you, right? That's going to be there by your side, that's going to help you through thick and thin, someone that's going to comfort you when you're down. And I think, you know, deep down inside, we all long for that. We all long for that. We need it. You know, you can't be a human being and not need friendship. When Jesus was in the garden, he asked his disciples again and again, pray with me. Pray with me. Share this really deep moment in my life where I'm about to suffer for this world beyond comprehension. I'm about to give up it, you know, my blood for this world. And they fell asleep. You know, in his hour of need, they fell asleep. And that must have been very disheartening to know that you're left alone in this world. And those you had spent the last 3 or so years with, got to love, got to eat with, got to share life with, didn't have enough in them to pray with you. That's sad. It really is a sad thing. And you know, it happens to us though, doesn't it? Don't we feel neglected at times as Christians? Don't we feel like, you know, we've been let down? You know, and we all do it. It's, you know, it's not something we really like doing or want to do, but it happens. It happens. This relationship that David and Jonathan had in their friendship was something special, something that, frankly, many of us don't get to experience in our lives. We desire it, but yet it just doesn't happen. It's something that takes work, brothers and sisters. You know, it just doesn't happen by fiat. You know, it takes effort, it takes action on our part. And if we're called to be ministers along with Jesus Christ and his ministry, we got to get to know people. We got to get to know them deeply. We got to cry with them. We have to laugh with them. We have to eat with them and share with them, just like Jesus did. You know, and that example of Jonathan and David, when we go through this story, is a shadow, but it's an amazing love story of two friends. An amazing love story. And you know, in many respects, Jonathan put more into that friendship, I think, than David. They loved each other, but Jonathan gave up a lot. He knew what he had to give up. He knew what David's status was. He was to be king of Israel. He knew that. Meanwhile, he had a father that was looking to kill him. But not only kill David, but kill his son. In one instance. What a difficult predicament for two friends to be in. I mean, you think about it. It was a mind-boggling predicament, right? And we think, you know, we wind up in situations at times as Christians that are difficult. I mean, how would you like a king after you for years trying to kill you, sending out his armies? day in and day out, hunting you down from city to city. And here you are, Jonathan, the friend of this person being hunted. And you have to try to mediate between your father, who's the king, who's out to kill your best friend that you love with a passion. What a predicament. So don't think when you wind up in predicaments in your life as a Christian, as it says, don't think it's strange. It's not. It's not. Strange things are going to happen to you. Things you don't understand. Things you would have never thought you would have to face in life. It's part of the suffering with Christ that we go through. You're going to suffer with Christ. Okay, but it's with him. He's your friend. He's your best friend. And he wants us to be best friends. He said, this world will know you by the love you have for each other, by the friendships you have. Can we really love people if we don't befriend them, really, and get close to them and know them? I don't know. Yes, I think you can because there are a lot of people, but, you know, it's not the same when you get close to somebody, right? It's not the same. And I thought about these friendships that I've had over the years, you know. I thought about a few of them, some that really stood in my mind. And what did I learn from those friendships? What are some of the things I learned? Well, I had one friend that, two actually, that I grew up with, two females. They were a little older than me. I was about 8 or 9 years old. I had just moved from Brooklyn, New York to Staten Island, New York. And they befriended me, you know, they got to know me, my family. And, you know, we had a whole group of kids that hung out together. And these two female girls, they were like sisters to me. Very kind to me all the time, very giving. You know, always told me, Tony, your mother's calling you, go home, you know. I never heard her, but they heard. They heard the voice. You know, do you ever see the Prince Spaghetti commercial where the Italian lady yells out the window, Anthony, it's Prince Spaghetti time. Well, some of you elderly people would know that. Well, maybe my age, not, no, okay. Anyway. Yeah, I guess I'm elderly now, right? Okay, I'll be the big 6-0 soon. So. But anyway, it's you know, they would always be there for me and watch out for me, and you know, a couple of me and the guys were together one night and we're walking up the street. It was dark, and we're passing by their house, and their father worked in a fish market, right? So I have one of my friends cracking jokes about him working in a fish market, and he's going, you know, I smell fish, as we're passing the house, you know. So I started getting into that too, you know, just mindless, not thinking, and I'm yelling out the same thing, you know, trying to be cool and fit in with the crowd. And I smell fish, and I turn around, and there they are, Teresa and Tony, standing right in front of me. And I could see the devastation in their eyes. I just felt it, you know, in my soul, that I knew this was not right. I shouldn't have done that. You know, and as much as I tried to apologize, things were just not the same after that. I didn't have that closeness with them anymore. You know, I lost it. And then I had another friend, my friend Al. We were best friends. We hung out for years together, grew up, you know, in school, after school, went on vacations together. And we both dated two girls who were also friends with each other. So we dated them for maybe a year or so. And I happened to go on the outs with my girlfriend, right? And I was out one day, and I noticed Al's girlfriend with another guy. So now I'm in a predicament. You know, I'm seeing this, and I'm in a predicament. Now I got to tell my best friend that the girl that I know he loves and he wants to marry, that she's cheating on him. I don't know how he's going to take this. But anyway, I said, I'm his best friend. I have to do this. I have to be honest with him. I just felt that's what I had to do. And I felt very vulnerable doing it. I didn't want to. But I bit the bullet and I told him. And you know, our relationship was not the same anymore. At first, it's like he didn't even believe me. He thought I was just maybe, you know, bitter because I broke up with the other girl who was this girl, his girlfriend's best friend. And I could understand that. You know, I didn't push it and I didn't say, no, you have to believe me. I just let it go. You know, I said, you know, just let it go because I know I'm telling him the truth and I'm doing what a friend would do. Well, he found out later that I was telling the truth, but it didn't make a difference. I think just hearing it from me somehow changed things in my relationship. But I think, you know, when we look at friendships, we kind of look at them, we don't look at them the way God looks at them. We don't look at them as a covenant, right? Friendships are covenants. You know, when you befriend somebody, you covenant to do good things with that person, to think good things about that person. And I know we all fall short. You know, there are times when, you know, I have diarrhea of the mouth, and I really apologize to any of you if I've ever offended you for anything, because that was not my intention. You know, I love you, and if I think that I hurt you in any way, that would bother me, just like it bothered me knowing I hurt people in my past. So I think we need to understand that friendship is grounded in covenant. This is what we're getting into when we befriend somebody, when we take them into our life, right? We want to do unto others what you want them to do unto you. That's like one of the golden rules. Do unto others like you would have them do unto you. If you're not feeling good about something, you need to go and apologize. Just do it. Don't worry about the consequences, whether they accept you or not. You know, this is what Jesus would want us to do. You'll feel better. You know, it says, seek peace and pursue it. You know, elevate above this world. This world, I mean, you can see what's going on when you read stories, politics, all of this. What a mess. I mean, what a mess. The way people talk to each other, about each other, you know? And people don't know what's true anymore. You know, truth is so hard to find in this world today. It is so hard to find. We are such a confused people. Our young people coming out of schools are confused. They are confused. And it's up to the church to unconfuse them, because it's Babel. This world is Babel. You know, we talk about the Tower of Babel and we know what that story is about, but that's what this world is all about. It's confused. It doesn't know Jesus Christ as their friend. They don't know. You know, they don't know the Father, Son, and Spirit, what that relationship is all about. It's a covenant relationship. And God showed us throughout the scriptures about this covenant in various ways. And he also showed us that we fail in that covenant. So don't be discouraged. He knew you were going to fail. Okay? He knew it. It's not something to be ashamed about anymore. Jesus covered your shame. Jesus made sure that you would be a part of that covenant even when you couldn't keep your part. He became a friend to you, and that friendship will never fail you. And I think, you know, this is why it was so hard for me to get through this message, because I saw my failures. You know, I could see them clearly. And, you know, it's not a good thing when you know that you've been a failure to other people. People that you should be loving, but you failed in that love. But with Jesus, we're not failures. You know that? We're not failures because he's going to take it all. He's going to make it all right. How he does that is beyond me. But I know he's going to do it. You know? And I think what gets me more in my heart is a scripture that sustains me through times of forgiveness or unforgiveness, is that he said, you know, if you forgive, your heavenly Father's going to forgive you. He makes it easy for you. He just makes it easy. Just go ahead and forgive them, he's telling you. Don't let it separate you from other people just because you have disagreements or problems or difficulties. Love them anyway. You know, love them anyway. Because like I said before, there's going to be times when they are not lovable and you are not lovable. It goes both ways. But if we forgive one another, we open it up for healing. We just open it up for healing. In 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 3, we read, when David had finished speaking with Saul, Jonathan committed himself to David and loved him as much as he loved himself. He loved David with his whole life. He knew that he was in line to be the next king if something happened to his father, right? In reality, that's what would have happened, but he also knew that David was anointed to be the next king. So he knew that wasn't going to happen for him. But he wanted to be by David's side as a friend when it did happen. He knew his father's time was limited on the earth. Before I go any further, I just want to skip to the end of the message here and then go back a little bit. Let's just get a recap of the whole lesson and what it really is encompassing. It says the story of Jonathan points forward to Jesus. Jonathan may be a wonderful example of friendship, but he was only a shadow of our truest friend. Jesus would fulfill everything that Jonathan hinted at. Like Jonathan, he would serve us at great personal cost to himself. Like Jonathan, he would come to us in need. But instead of walking 30 miles, he crossed the gap between heaven and earth. Jonathan gave up his right to the palace to help David get in. Jesus purchased our place in the palace at the cost of his own blood. He made his cause ours, taking our sins and our sorrows, swallowing death in our place so that we could have eternal life. Here is the friend we've always searched for. The only one who risked it all, who always strengthens our hand in God, who commits himself eternally to our good. How can we reflect on that without bursting into song?